that, I mean, they would go and rush to you and say, we need help in financing? I'm just trying to put the context.
This was the main ballroom of the Château Champlain. People are introduced to people. And Minister Galliano, who knew me from the one meeting with Mr. Kotler a year before, when he was just starting his campaign, introduced me to Mr. Marcelli, and Mr. Marcelli introduced me to Mr. Courbet. And if you know the Château Champlain, the main cocktail is on one level, and there's a raised level where you could sit and have a drink and smoke. And they said, let's go up there and have a talk.
Okay. How did Mr. Galliano introduce Mr. Marcelli?
He introduced Mr. Marcelli as a longtime friend, an expert political organizer, and somebody who he, Mr. Galliano, had just asked to be involved in the Finance Commission because he felt that the Finance Commission of the LPCQ, after this election, would have problems because if the Liberals lost, nobody would be there, and if the Liberals won, all these people who had been there would understand this is Chrétien's last term, and they had their fidelity to Chrétien. So it had to move. Somebody had to direct it.
So you understood from the introduction by Mr. Galliano that Mr. Marcelli had just started being involved in a financing effort?
Actually, he told me he hadn't accepted Galliano's offer. That Galliano was just talking to Mr. Marcelli about it. Okay. And Mr. Marcelli was trying to build a team.
And what about Mr. Courbet?
Courbet was very nice. He was there. He listened to the conversation. And I think his main contribution to the conversation was to say, les anciens réseaux sont brûlés.
Did you ask what he meant by that?
Yes, I did. I
said, what did he say?
I said, quel réseau? I said, the whole Liberal Party is brûlé. He said, no. La Commission des Finances fonctionne pas. The Finance Commission wasn't working. They weren't doing... You see, the Liberal Party has three parallel systems.
Let's forget about parallel system. Okay. Let's stick to whatever Mr. Courbet told you about what
the
he
problems,
meant about the financial...
The problems with the commission. Finance Commission moving forward.
Did he provide you with any specifics?
At that time, no.
Okay. And so that was the introduction?
Correct.
Does what you told the commissioner curse the extent of that conversation?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
You didn't accept on the spot?
No, I told him, look, we're still working with an MP. There's nothing I can do for you now. There's nothing I can do during the election because I wasn't going for the election. I'll think about it. I'll discuss it with Mr. Kotler. It interests me because it's important to get communities I've devoted my life to into the center of some power in the party, not just as ticket buyers and campaign workers. And I'll let you know over the next 60 days after the election.
What was your role during the election? Because we'll come...
I stayed at the riding office. I had it in my mind that this was a project I wanted to undertake. To speak frankly, I was... my relationship with Mr. Kotler goes back 30 years, and I had admiration for him, but frankly, I had a lot of problems with his wife. I was considering leaving the office. I was considering taking this offer seriously, but I couldn't go to the party. So I stayed at the office, wrapped up my files, continued to do the riding constituency work, and sometime after the election, I was received a call, and I said, okay, I think I'm going to do this.
So you received a call from whom?
Benoit Courbet.
So
actually, I can't remember which of the two.
Okay.
Maybe both.
You have no specific recollection about that?
I have a specific recollection of receiving the calls. There were calls from both, right after the election.
Okay. And did you meet them?
Absolutely.
When?
I'd say at some point, the election, remind me, early November, was it early November, mid-November of 2000?
Late November, I think it was
27th.
27th?
A few days after that, if not the beginning of December, but during that period.
Did you meet with them?
Yes, sir.
Where?
Good question.
Frank?
No, I haven't been introduced to the famous restaurant yet.
Were you at some point?
Sure. I can't remember where the meeting was, but it wouldn't have been at Frank's. The memory serves me. It was some kind of an official office because they not only came, but they came, I believe, with Mr. Galliano as well to try to convince me to do this.
So was it the headquarters of the party on Cremazie?
It could have been the headquarters at Franklin Hotel. I don't remember. Shortly thereafter, however, we had a dinner at Frank's. That was my introduction to the world of Frank's.
Okay, we'll get to that world later on. But let's stick to the first meeting with Mr. Corbet, Mr. Galliano, and Mr. Morsilli. The three of them attended.
Yes. What was not the first meeting, the second meeting.
The first meeting, Mr. Galliano wasn't there?
No, Mr. Morsilli and Mr. Corbet.
Okay, so what was the thrust of your discussion then?
Again, the whole idea of what would be the duties, what would be the mandate, how broad the mandate. And it was at that meeting that I said to them again, look, this will interest me, but I will not do this to raise money and simply to compromise my relationships with these groups. You have to commit to me, and you have to get the political minister of Quebec to mandate my work, that we will provide resources, access, and outreach to these communities who have no reason whatever to help the political party. And I explained to them the following, that the world that I lived in at that time wanted nothing to do with the Liberal Party for three reasons. The social action community that they wanted me to go into were fed up with the Chrétien government because they faced benign neglect on their agenda. The visible minorities didn't even feel that Chrétien knew they existed. The political left, thanks to the work of Maître Mitchell, detested the Auberge Grand-Mère scandal, the persecution and prosecution of François Baudouin. There was no love lost. The Jewish community was fed up with the political equivalency of this government on the Israeli votes. And I told them, look, I'm going to test. So there is no way I'm going to be there as a fundraiser. You will allow me to do outreach to these communities, allow me to serve them in their needs, in their questions, whatever their MP's offices can do. If they have frustration, they're going to have a number to call at the office.
Okay. Let's get to outreach and the phone number at some other point. Was there any discussion at that time about how you were going to be paid or
sure.
where you were going to work?
Sure.
So?
I insisted, number one, that there be an office at the, because I said I'm not going to run around like a thief in the night telling people, give me a check because I have a nice face and the Liberal Party needs it. There had to be an official lien avec le parti. I also said to them, I am not a junior delivery boy. I am not about to become an employee of the party. I want my mandate to come directly from the political minister of Quebec. And if I don't hear it from him, I don't take it. Third, I said I will be paid as a consultant to the party and I will have a wide berth. And fourth, I said I will be operating out of your headquarters when I need to because I will be an enormous number of people and I don't want to meet them in some restaurant or some cafeteria. They need to know that the primordial political party in this country is serious in this effort of outreach. If these conditions aren't met, I'm not interested.
Okay.
Money was discussed as well. And I said, look, it's very much up to you, but I'm thinking of a number of about $5,000 a month plus my expenses.
And that's ultimately what you got?
There was no discussion of it. They said, that sounds fair.
Who was doing the talking? Who was...
All of us. It was a think session.
And did you understand in what capacity Mr. Morsilli was attending that meeting?
Well, yes, as I just explained. He made it very clear, as did Mr. Galliano in the Château Champlain meeting, that this finance commission was not working. And he, Mr. Morsilli, who had been a political organizer for 20 years, founded a school board, did a lot of political organization for various parties, was asked by Galliano to get the finance commission moving.
Okay. And did you know if he had any... was he a member of the Finance Commission back then?
Oh, I had no idea of the structure or titles of the political Liberal Party of Quebec, of the Liberal Party of Canada, Section Quebec.
Did you know whether or not he was president of the commission,
vice president,
director?
What I did know is that Mr. Galliano told me that he had asked Mr. Morsilli to get the Finance Commission moving. And when the political minister for Quebec says something to me, I have to...
That was good enough.
Well, it wasn't matter of good enough. Remember, 30 years in the Liberal Party, when my first, the person who I worked for as a junior, when the Jean Marchand said something, you knew had authority. When Marc Lalonde said something, that was authority. I didn't know Galliano from a hole in the wall at that point, except for that first meeting. So I assumed that Galliano, though he didn't have necessarily the intellectual capacity, perhaps, or the charisma of the Marchands and the Lalondes, certainly must have had the authority because he carried three hats. Chief organizer, political minister, and minister of public works. So if a guy like that tells you something, if you can't believe a man in that position, then what is the good is the word of anybody in Canada?
So that was the discussion that you had at that first meeting?
That's correct.
Then you had a second meeting, at which point Mr. Galliano joined your discussions?
That's correct. I wish I could remember where it was.
And that was at your request. You wanted get it from the horse's mouth.
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. I despite what he may look like in his pictures. And despite that, I wanted to hear it from the political minister for Quebec. That's where the authority came from.
So did you at some point, and if so, when and where?
December, don't ask me what date, Frank's.
2000?
Yes.
At Frank's?
The Frank's restaurant, which I couldn't find at the beginning. I arrived late. Thank God I arrived habitually late. Benoit was there. Mr. Morcelli was there. And Minister Galliano was there. Mr. Morcelli was sitting with Mr. Galliano in front of us. Benoit was at this on this side. It was a table for four, and I took this seat. And the conversation commenced.
And what happened?
And Mr. Morcelli basically allowed me to repeat everything that I had demanded. And Mr. Galliano puffed on a cigar and said, okay. Now, Mr. Galliano was not a man of many words. If somebody normally has an emotional range of 1 to 10, you know, if you get 1 to 3 from him, it's fine. So an okay from him is already a declaration of independence.
Okay. Well, let's not get into that.
It's not a knock on Mr. Galliano, which is the way he is.
I understand. So your hiring was firmed up at that meeting.
That's correct.
Was there any discussion or discussions about to whom you would report?
Oh, clearly. The reporting procedure would be very, very direct. I was told, by the way, for the first time at that meeting, that there's only people there. I said, what kind of people? They said, well, there's two secretaries. There's a part-time organizer that we think is basically doing broomball tournaments, and there's an accountant. So you and Benoit are going to be working very closely together, and the reporting will be you and Benoit to the Finance Commission represented by Mr. Morcelli, and Mr. Morcelli to Galliano. I said, well, what about anybody else? Isn't anybody else going to come into the office? The president of the party, is anybody there? And I was told, no, the president of the party arrived maybe once every few months. Checks are sent.
How many times did you actually met with Mr. Galliano from late December of 2000 till June of 2001?
There was the regularity they discussed, but I think in some months it became more than
I'm
months.
Asking you,
sorry.
How many times did you meet with them?
I'm answering you. What they told me was once a month. The once a month became twice a month. So I would say anywhere from 6 to 10 times. Never alone, by the way. Always in the company of Mr. Morcelli and or Mr. Corbet.
And including the minister, Mr. Galliano himself.
Yes, I met Mr. Galliano 6 to 10 times in those 6 months. In the company commissioner of Mr. Corbet and or Mr. Morcelli, sometimes at the office, the party headquarters, sometimes at Frank's, sometimes at a political cocktail.
Okay. And where would you say most of the time you were meeting?
With Mr. Galliano?
Yes.
50-50 party headquarters and social occasions, which could be Frank's or political cocktails where we'd go aside and discuss things.
Okay. During the whole the time period that
By the way, I did try one time to shift the meeting from Frank's to at least something like Il Cortili downtown because the food is a little better, but I succeeded once.
And how many times in total did you go to Frank's?
During those 6 months?
Yes.
Had to be 6 to 10 times.
Okay. Having meetings with Mr. Morcelli and or the minister?
Correct, sometimes for lunch and sometimes to the chagrin of my wife at for dinner, which tended to go on.
And during all your meetings with Mr. Galliano, was he at any point whatsoever accompanied by Mr. Barr, who was his then chief of staff?
Never.
At no point whatsoever?
Never in any of my meetings with him.
And
I did not meet, if I may anticipate, I didn't meet Mr. Barr. I didn't even know his name again until my first event at the Ritz-Carlton, February 22nd, my first fundraising event.
And during that time period, you organized two financial events.
From January to June.
Yes.
Correct.
And the first one is the one that we see on page 308 of P393B, and Mr. Lachance will bring you that document. And that was an event that was held at the Ritz-Carlton, was it?
That's correct. And it was not by the... I don't know who printed this. I have never seen this paper. This was not a cocktail privé. This was a cocktail public. If you would like to see, Mr. Conway, what the cocktail...
Let's go it step by step. I know there are pictures of this cocktail. We'll get to
that. I was talking about the pictures of the cocktail privé that I sent.
Let's answer my question.
Yes, sir.
Was that cocktail held at the Ritz?
Correct.
And if we look at the list of people that we, the list of companies and individuals, we have the companies list at 309 and the list of individuals at 313.
Correct.
Are those the people that you contacted for that cocktail?
Briefly looking at the list, yes, I could tell you the name of most of these people, yes.
Okay. And that cocktail was organized to the knowledge of whom?
To the knowledge of everybody in the Liberal Party of Canada, and I don't include the section of Quebec, but the entire caucus, the entire executive. Benoit Corbeil specifically told me that since this was done on short notice, because Mr. Galliano wanted this thing done within 4 weeks, he said to me, look, you go out and work your list and work your people. I will take care of making sure that everybody in the party attends, because I said to him it was very important for these people to know that there's a legitimacy to this thing, that elected officials, party officials would be there. And he did that. He only had a week to do that. He was very late in doing that, but it came off. Ministers, MPs attended.
Okay.
The president of the party attended.
So let's look to put all of this into context at P398, at page 115.
Sorry, where am I looking at? Thank you. So I put this aside?
398.
The volume of, that's 393, sir.
Yeah.
398 is Mr.
Books.
I did.
Okay.
By mentioning the name of the other exhibit.
Okay.
Or
398 so at what page?
115.
That's the section with the pictures, I presume you're saying.
Yes.
Yes.
So we have on that first page a number of pictures. One at the bottom right is a picture of Mr. Cochon.
Correct.
So is this the function that was held at the Ritz-Carlton?
Correct. Yes.
At the next page, at page 116, although we don't see the number of the page,
right,
there's a picture where we see Mr. Desind.
Top right hand, yes.
With Mr. Cochon.
Correct.
And top bottom left,
correct,
we saw Minister Pettigrew.
Correct.
Mr. Cochon.
Correct.
Minister Galliano.
Correct.
So that's the function that was held in February 2001.
That's correct.
At the Ritz. And behind page 114.
All right, you have to guide me here because I have no pagination in my copy. I
know
this.
If you go to 114, you'll have it.
I have it blank. My 114 is blank.
Well, I can see it from here.
But, okay.
114, it's printed.
Yeah.
Oh, you what?
At the top. Behind 114.
Is the pictures.
They are after.
Are you talking about before 114? Sorry.
Before.
So
sorry,
page 113.
Behind, I'm sorry. I stand corrected.
A little language problem here, but it's the page preceding.
Preceding
page.
So okay. From page 46 till 113, we have all the checks and the backup for the money that you raised for that activity.
Correct, with a slight explanation. These were all the checks that I raised. I could tell you who they were raised from. They were not the complete series, because over 4 years you lose a lot of documentation. And I got this book last night, and I already noticed there were some omissions there's so much paper that all of you are working with, and I understand that, there were a certain, about $30,000 of checks that were not photostat for this, but I've made them available to Mr. Lorti.
Okay.
And there are were others that were left at the party, many of whom I wasn't given copies of, but we have the complete list of the attendees, and we can go through that later with Mr. Lorti.
Well, I don't think we'll go through that
okay.
motion. I understand that these are in the main most of the checks for your activities towards...
I didn't do an addition of them, but that activity raised somewhere in the neighborhood of $150,000. So if the checks total that, or $140,000 to $150,000, then it would be correct.
Well, the total that we have, if our calculation is right, at page 45, the total of these checks are $136,000.
Well, if the total of these checks for the Ritz event was $136,000, you know, we're not going to debate a $10,000 difference.
Okay. And the other activities activity that you organize is the one that took place on June the 28th?
That's correct.
And we have a record of that activity, and I'm changing here, volume, going back to P393B at page 322.
Mr. Kurnway, I beg your indulgence because...
No problem.
I just... Okay.
And the activity on, that took place on June the 28th, 2001, was held at the Club Universitaire de Montréal. Is it right?
Correct.
Okay. With respect to both these activities, Mr. Wasman,
yes.
How was it organized? Were you the sole organizer with respect to the financing aspect of the organization?
During this period of time, I was going out and speaking to social action and community groups and telling them why they should come to these fundraisers. I was giving speeches and talks, and we were getting out a variety of request to these organizations. Why the hell should we buy your tickets?
So I don't want to cut you.
No, but
you?
I was the sole...
Sorry. I ask you a question.
Yes,
can you answer the question
the
first?
The sole seller of the tickets for these two events.
Okay.
That created the network. These two events created the network that would go forward.
Okay. You were the sole seller.
Yes.
You were the...
Well, I shouldn't say sole. They may have been tickets sold by others. Joe Morcelli was very helpful. Other people in various communities were very helpful, but... I had to go and meet, if somebody called me, for example, from the Jewish community, the Lebanese community, the Indo-Canadian community, we have somebody who's interested in buying two tickets, three tickets, four tickets, a president of this organization, could you come and talk to them? So they were helpful, but I was the spoke in the center of the wheel, if you like.
Okay. So you were the sole seller, and what did you do with all the checks that you received?
Every single check was delivered to Daniel Cloutier at the office of the Liberal Party of Canada, Section Quebec. He was the accountant,
yeah,
with a report to Mr. Corbet and to Mr. Morcelli,
with
as many copies of checks as I could remember to make as well.
Okay. With respect to the activity that took place on February the 22nd, yes, when were the checks delivered to Mr. Cloutier?
The checks that were delivered that night, and it's in your pictures, were picked up at the door, some of them, because two of the secretaries from the party were at the door in the Palm Court on that raised level, so they took some of the checks. I got some of the checks that were handed to me or delivered to the office, so they were delivered right away. And a certain number of the checks came in after, and those were delivered directly by Mr. Cloutier because he sent out bills from the Liberal Party to the people that I had told him had pledged to buy checks, with my name as the representative of the Liberal Party, and those checks also came in because I called those people, told them to write their checks and meet their pledges, but to send me a copy of their checks.
Okay. So the whole operation of getting back the checks to the party for the activity that was held on February the 22nd, when was it done and over with?
I would say probably by the beginning of March, the last checks would come in, if not later.
Did you at any time whatsoever kept any check with you?
Well, yes, the night of the party when people came to the party
but,
gave me checks.
But after March?
No, I had no reason to. They were all made out to Liberal Party of Canada, Section Quebec.
Okay. And did you deliver or give any checks with respect to the activity that was held on February the 22nd to either Mr. Corbeil or Mr. Morcelli, directly?
Oh, it very well may be because, I am not an accountant, I am not a delivery boy, as I told you, so if I had to go off and make a speech to some group, and I said, and some checks came in the mail, I'd say to Benoit, here, Benoit, give them to Danielle, or if I met Mr. Morcelli at some political function, I'd say, Joseph, look, I have to go there, can you take these checks and deliver them to the office, give them to Benoit or Danielle? Certainly it wasn't always me, and I wasn't proprietary about handling the checks.
Were you ever provided with a final accounting of the activity that took place on February the 22nd?
I am very happy you asked that question. Mr. Minister Galliano asked for an account.
The answer should be first a yes or a no.
No, never. And this was a constant problem in the party that I brought up to Mr. Galliano, a letter which we will not talk about now. I know you want to present it later. Not I, not the minister, not Benoit Prebet, not Mr. Morcelli, no one could get an accounting from Daniel Cloutier of where any checks were going. And worse, because the project that they had asked me to undertake was to pay the day-to-day operations of the party, we never got a proper list of payables. We had three meetings with Mr. Cloutier from mid-January to the end of February, to mid-March. Each meeting, the payable list went from $400,000 to $700,000 to $900,000 to $1.2 million. And I looked at Benoit and I said, this is an accountant? How do you run a party when you don't, how do you run a business when you don't know what you owe?
So my question was a little bit more restrictive.
I'm sorry.
With respect to the activity that took place on February the 22nd. You never receive any accounting of?
Never.
Okay. With respect
and
to.
You expected that accounting would be prepared by Daniel Cloutier.
I asked for it within a week.
No. It's a simple question.
Oh, certainly, because he was the only accountant.
He was the only accountant, and so that you didn't think that it was your job to do the accounting yourself.
Mr. Commissioner,
these may be obvious questions to you, but I'd like to have them on the record.
Clearly.
Okay. You didn't think that it was your job to do an accounting yourself. Am I right?
My wife doesn't trust me to balance our checkbook.
Okay.
But let's forget about your wife. Let's answer
no,
the answer
it was not
of the commissioner.
My job. It was not
your
not
job.
Expected
you
of me.
You felt that you would deliver the checks that were received to Daniel Cloutier, and he would, in the normal course of events, prepare some sort of an accounting.
And I can answer your question more fully.
Yeah.
When I voiced my frustrations to Benoit Corbeil, he said, Beryl, laisse Cloutier faire son affaire.
Okay. All right.
Laisse Cloutier faire son affaire. Laisse Cloutier faire son affaire.
Okay. Let's go to the activity that took place on June the 28th.
Yes, sir.
Was that activity planned, organized, or vetted with anyone?
With everyone.
With anyone in the party.
And when I say with everyone, Minister Galliano, notices were sent out. I was present when Minister Galliano made a call to Mrs. Petri. Three conversations with Mr. Desand, who had come into the party at that time.
When was your first conversation with Mr. Desand?
The day he came in, April or May, I don't remember the date, and Mr. Galliano and Mr. Morcelli said to me, brief him on everything you're doing, the social action work, the money, everything, the events, the whole thing.
How did the meeting go?
Lousy.
Why?
I explained to Danielle what my meant was, what I demanded in terms of making our party more of a party of outreach. I showed him all the things we were doing with the communities. I told him that one of my demands was that community leaders sit on the Finance Commission because as much as there are four commissions in the party, youth, political, women, and finance, that we didn't make the rules, none of us in this room. If you raise money, if you sell tickets, you get a voice. And I said that was the promise from the political minister. I went through the whole thing, everything we had done, all the letters that I'd received of thanks from ethnic groups, cultural groups, athletic groups. After I finished, Daniel Desand looked at me with very cold eyes and a very thin smile and said, these people are never getting into the heart of the Finance Commission. I said, Daniel, you and I have nothing further to talk about. You'll get reports from me. Don't even pass by my office. I went into my office, which is next to his. I called Galliano and Morcelli. I couldn't reach Galliano. I reached Morcelli. I said, I'm out of here. I'm not. And Morcelli begged me to stay to do the June 28th event. I said, Joe, you don't understand who you have here. Am I clear?
Yes?
Thank you.
Crystal? But let's go back to was the comment that you told us that Mr. Desain made, was
me?
It the only one?
To me?
Yes?
No.
But did he tell you that he wanted...
I'll give you the I'm sorry, I stopped my conversation with Danielle Short. I looked at Danielle and I said, and this I have to say in French, because it was a quote from a liberal senator. I said, Danielle, un grand sénateur libéral francophone de Québec m'a dit une fois que les vrais de solitude à Québec, c'est pas entre les francophones et les anglophones, c'est entre les 50% des Québécois et Québécoises qui sont les héritiers d'une tradition politique progressiste non pareille et les autres 50%. Qui sont les vrais héritiers d'Adrien Arcan et Maurice Duplessis. And I leave it to you, Mr. Cornway, and Mr. Commissioner, first of all, that was my last comment to Mr. Desain, and I left his office. I didn't lock my door to him, as he said, but I wanted nothing to do with him.
Did Mr. Desain ask you to report to him?
He did, and I said, you will get every report in writing that I will send to Mr. Corbet and Mr. Marcelli, but... Do not speak to me again. And further, I said...
Mr. Wiseman,
yes.
I'm listening very carefully.
Yes.
This is important. But why were you so angry?
He was a racist.
Okay. That was your perception. You thought
not
he was
a perception.
A racist. No. Well, excuse me, you've made a sort of an accusation when you said
no,
that.
No, I made a direct accusation.
Well, you've made an accusation and... whether it's a well-founded accusation or not is something that I'll judge upon eventually. But what do you base yourself upon to say that he was a racist?
Because what he said to me, these people will not sit on this Finance Commission, and this was one of my mandates from Galliano and a promise to bring in some of the ethnic and cultural community leaders into the heart of the Finance Commission, not to lead it, but to be there with some dignity and respect. Danielle said to me, these people will, when he said to me, these people will not sit on this commission, I said, Danielle, who are these people? The brown ones, the yellow ones, or those whose names you don't like, who are not de souche? Didn't answer. Cold smile, cold eyes. And Mr. Commissioner, I've been involved with cultural communities all my life. I was born in Russia. I lost 70 members of my family in the Holocaust. I led the first Holocaust conference in Montreal in 1975 at McGill. There are certain things you feel or you know. So I didn't freeze him out, but I really didn't deal with him, and that's why I asked to leave.
Let me make a suggestion to you. My suggestion, because I'm making it because I'm trying to understand what happened. This meeting was obviously crucial. I'm suggesting to you that perhaps what Mr. Desain was trying to communicate to you was that he didn't think that you were in a position to dictate to him the composition of the Finance Commission, that maybe he thought that instead of you saying the Finance Commission will consist of various representatives of these communities, he was trying to communicate to you that he didn't think that that was the proper way to constitute the Finance Commission. It was going to be an elected or appointed body over which he would have some jurisdiction. Is it possible that you overreacted? Yes,
my answer?
I'm making a suggestion. I want to know your reaction to my suggestion.
You need to know another set of facts. In that conversation, Mr. Desain made clear to me, and it was generally known in the party, his disaffection for the fact that Minister Galliano had supported another party worker named Claude Forget or Claude Fortin for this job. Mrs. Petri, the president of the party, supported Desain. It was well known in the party that Mrs. Petri held a grudge against Mr. Galliano for this insane idea that Mr. Galliano kept her husband out of the cabinet. Mr. Desain said to me that whatever Galliano may have told you is not the mandate that's going to happen. So it wasn't him talking to Beryl Wiseman. I hardly mattered. It was him responding to the mandate that and the promises that Minister Galliano had made, and it became a turf war. And I told Joe Morselli when I went back to my office, get me out of here because I want to be in the middle of a turf war.
Well, I understand that there was a turf war going on. What I didn't understand as well was your statement that Mr. Desain was a racist. And to mix up a turf war and an accusation of racism, it seems to me, are two different things. But you know, that's why I think it's important that you bring out that second.
Mr. Commissioner, sorry, Mr.
Okay.
If I may, let's go on and explain it further. They are not mutually exclusive. There were several reasons why DeZand acted the way he did at the party. Number one, his anger, Galliano. Number two, his desire to keep the party closed. Number three, I wasn't dictating to him who was going to be on the commission. I was telling him what the promise was from the political minister. And number four, and I don't want to get ahead of Metro Cournoy's presentation, you will see some of his behavior later on in June, which will also be self-explanatory and was self-explanatory to the over two dozen community leaders that I brought to the party's headquarters. Nothing was done without being at the party.
But let me go back to what it is that specifically Mr. DeZand requested from you. Did he specifically request that you would report to him in matters with respect to any endeavor or activities of financing you would undertake?
Mr. DeZand asked for written reports. He really didn't like me, and that was fine. I'm not there to be
lied.
He wanted written reports.
Did he ask you?
And he got them.
Did you resent that he was asking you that?
Not at all. It was normal. I told him I would give him the same weekly reports or biweekly reports I gave to Benoit Corbet. He was the director general. I was only a consultant.
Okay. Were you providing the party with weekly reports in writing from January 2001 till June?
I left the receivable list. I used to make a list of receivables and payables of people who had bought tickets and still owed money on tickets through the party. I don't, and they should have been in the documents you have.
Is this the answer to the question? On a weekly basis,
it could have been weekly or every 10 days or every 12 days as information accumulated. I certainly didn't send out memos
to
on individual
whom,
people.
To whom were you reporting?
I sent a memo to Mr. Marcelli and to Mr. Corbet at the beginning, and then Mr. DeZand. And Mr. Marcelli said he would take care of sending it to Mr. Galliano. I frankly wanted to send it to Mr. Galliano directly. Mr. Marcelli said to me, let me send it to him.
Okay.
Which led to certain frustration later that you will get to. My frustration.
At the time, did you know Mr. Clément Joly?
Oh, I had met him once or twice at some cocktails. He was never active in